you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine, the show that teaches you how to survive the things that could kill you.
Like megastorms, monkeypox.
Oof.
The lottery curse.
Ooh. And how to survive the things that just make you wish you were dead.
Thinking Denver's a state. Spilling red wine on a newborn baby.
Sure.
Or how about blowing it all on national TV?
Oh, I can relate.
Yeah. I know, but you can.
The only thing that's going to calm me down right now is
some theme song music.
Theme song music.
Let's get to
Let's
it.
Let's do it.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Gobbling down Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. I am Danielle.
Hey, I'm Christine.
I'm going to start the show a little differently this week.
I hope so.
Which I hope is okay with you. I have a question for Garen.
Great.
Because I saw one of his vague posts with a picture of him with a bunch of Stouffer's products.
Oh, okay.
So, and as I was leaving the house, Jimmy said, don't forget to ask Garen about Stouffer's. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what that was all about. So, what's the story?
Are you brand ambassador?
You think so. The other night, I was watching the last few episodes of Mary Tyler Moore,
mm-hmm.
Right before I had a nice emotional breakdown when that ended.
Yeah.
And I tweeted, I have a serious question. Don't answer me if you're going to play games or whatever. And
okay.
I was like, how late is too late for a Stouffer's mac and cheese?
Oh, I did see that. Okay.
And then people were responding. And then the next day, Stouffer's was like, they responded and were like, anytime, send us a message and we'll send you some stuff or whatever, paraphrasing over a couple
really?
Of tweets. Yeah, so by the time I got home from Never Not Funny yesterday, I had two bags full of Stouffer's frozen
treats
on my doorstep, yeah.
Are you kidding?
No.
I have to ask, French pizza? French bread pizza?
Yep.
Wow, that's all I know Stouffer's from.
I mean, I loved Stouffer's French bread pizza through my teen years.
Well, their mac and cheese is so good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it like you have to add, is it like Kraft where you have to add water or is it just a frozen?
It's microwave, right?
It's all microwave?
Yeah. You can put it in the oven, but that takes upwards of 18 minutes and I do not have time
that
for that.
That seems like a long time 18
minutes.
For
no, I do
mac
not.
And cheese.
No. Aaron.
8 minutes in the, 6 minutes in the fridge or in the microwave. Fridge. Fridge. I like it cold.
You like the cheese congealed.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. All right. I'm a big fan of Trader Joe's macaroni and cheese. Have you had it?
No.
Is it frozen also?
It's also frozen, and okay. It gets all crispy on top. Ooh. It's very cheesy, delicious. Mm-hmm. So I want you to do me a favor.
I smell a taste test.
Taste test, and you tell me.
Okay.
Try them both.
All right.
Let me know. Just come back and give us...
Or bring one of them to Chris, and she can do a taste test,
I'll do
too.
It. Yeah, I don't want to... You know what? I don't want you to do all my emotional labor.
Why don't we just do both?
Yeah, like both just, of you I'll have just, a taste test. Okay.
You bring it Trader Joe's, I'll bring it Stouffer's.
Okay.
And we'll just try it.
I agree to these terms.
All right.
Oh, you mean try it here on the show?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, now we're Morning Zoo also?
Yeah, why not? All right. 46 episodes? I think yeah, it's time we might for as a
well.
Taste test.
Might as well.
We knew this day was coming.
What are we talking about today,
guys,
Christine?
This is going to apply to so many listeners. I'm so excited because we're about to help so many people. First off, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do either of you play the lottery?
Interesting you should ask.
It is.
Because I am vehemently opposed to the lottery, but whilst Jimmy had COVID, I think that's when he had his rebound,
yeah.
He asked me to go to 7-Eleven and buy him whatever that thing is,
Super Bowl
ticket, whatever the fuck it's called. So Oliver and I walked down, and I just gave Oliver a lecture on how I'm opposed to the lottery, but I'm doing this for your dad. I don't understand the logic of, well, now it's 7 billion. Yesterday it was only 2 billion, but now it's 7 billion, so I've got to play.
Right, right.
What?
It's like I'm losing money if I don't.
Right. I just don't, I cannot wrap my head around the risk reward. To answer your question, no.
I have occasionally. My dad is pretty obsessed with it. Like, he would go to Ohio and drop $200 on tickets every time it got to a certain amount.
Yes.
And then the next day, he'd be combing that newspaper looking for... This is back when we all, you know, had newspapers delivered.
Yeah.
But he would comb those numbers, and he'd be like, God, I was only one digit off here, and I would have won $1,500,000 or whatever. That's a real number.
Right.
If I would have done this one, my whole life.
Now, why did he go to Ohio? Was there no lottery?
Different lotto. Like, I don't... think it's Mega Millions. Maybe it was Mega Millions before Mega Millions was in Michigan.
Oh, you mean
one of those situations? But
he would do the state lotteries of two different states. You're saying
yes?
Okay.
Yeah.
You, Christine?
No, I've never bought a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
I definitely come from lottery people, as Garen does. I descend from coal miners and lottery folk.
It's a rich, deep tradition.
It is.
It's like the nickel was handed down generation after generation to scratch off that silver stuff.
I have bought scratchers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's different?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lottery is, you know, where you pick the numbers and the ticket comes out, or you say,
I thought it was all part of the lottery.
It is. But I'm differentiating between lottery and the scratchers.
Okay. Yeah,
the lottery one, you're just throwing your money away.
Yeah.
The
scratchers.
Now you can win something there.
I mean, Jimmy's mom used to give us scratchers for Christmas, and that was fun. And you could win $5 or something.
Yeah.
So I get that more.
It seems a little more tangible, a little more harmless. But I don't do that regularly. Like, I've maybe done that a handful of times in my life, and I did win $100 one time.
All right, that's good.
That felt fun. Have you guys ever won anything?
Nothing. You know, probably $3.
I think
I don't have luck.
50 off of one card.
Okay,
once,
that's good.
One scratcher once.
Well, now that I've gotten this information from you guys, your statistics, I'm going to give you some statistics that I dug up on a website called social.com with two O's.
I thought you were going to say Truth Social. I was getting a little worried.
Truth Social. We trust this, right? Okay. The average gambler in the U.S. spends around $261 on lottery tickets per year.
Okay.
The average... Oh, wait, scratch that. Okay. Scratch that. Get
with
it?
Your nickel.
Okay. Some locations are more prone to gambling than others.
Okay.
What do you think the state where people spend the most year? What state?
Florida.
Nevada.
Oh, okay. They don't have enough things to gamble on?
Adults spend around $5,000 per year on tickets.
Wow. What? $5,000?
According to the report, citizens in Nevada spend the most on lottery tickets, followed by adults in Rhode Island who spend around $449 per year on the lottery. Delaware came in third, with adults spending around $390 per year on lottery tickets. I mean, that sounds crazy. $5,000?
And it's a huge drop-off to Rhode Island.
They must be counting casinos. I mean, let's remember, this is social with two O's, this website.
Where's the second O?
I don't know.
Social?
Social.com.
So wait, but they're saying on the lottery specifically.
That's what it says. But I think they must be counting casinos. Guys.
But casinos don't have lottery tickets.
I know. Listen. Somebody well actually me in this moment.
I'm trying to. I don't know if you're reading it wrong or maybe you wanted to go to a second source. This makes zero sense.
I did want to go to a second source, but I was tired.
I get it. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Nevada adults spend around $5,000 per year on tickets. Okay. I mean, when they say around, maybe they mean a lot less, like $500. 57% of Americans buy lottery tickets. 181 million people buy at least one lottery ticket or more in a year.
Okay.
People over the age of 65 were the least likely to buy a ticket, and men were more likely than women.
Okay.
Single Americans, generally less likely to do a lottery
tickets. That surprises me.
Than Americans with partners. Well, they got to buy their Stouffer's.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't all get free Stouffer's.
No. We can't just post online in the middle of the night, I want some mac and cheese, and then it just shows up at your door.
I did eat that mac and cheese. It was good.
Well, it paid off, I guess.
I know. It worked out for you. And you know what? I'm happy about that. 44% of lottery winners spend their money within 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. The report also discovered, this is by Forbes, 90% of all lottery winners have spent everything by the time their grandkids would be eligible to receive any cash, meaning most winners don't support future generations. I mean, I think we can look at Earth and know that most people don't
support future generations.
We can tell by them.
Well, also let them earn their own money.
Yeah. It's okay. They got to pick them up by their bootstraps.
Yeah.
Themselves up.
Right.
I'm good at sayings. However, 83% said they did give some money to their families.
Uh-huh.
And men were more likely to give money to three friends, while women only shared with one friend.
See, that always... I have thought about that, about the friend thing. I don't think you want to give money to a friend.
That gets complicated.
I don't know. It gets very complicated because it's very... you can become incredibly, you know, resentful.
Yes.
Because, and if it's a loan... But then they'd be like, why do you have to loan it? You just want all this money.
Yeah. I'm just surprised that men had three friends.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Here's a good statistic.
I wonder if they have like some sort of bracket thing where they figure out which three friends they're going to give the money to.
Like they do with like their sports.
Yeah, their
football
sports.
Kind of stuff when they're figuring
March
it out.
Madness March Madness or something.
Oh,
yeah.
They probably do it like that. You're right.
I think so.
According to Love Money, another powerful statistic group.
And an 80s soul band.
Oh, I loved that song.
None of those things make any sense.
Chocolate Dreams.
Yes.
70%. Love Money.
Yeah. Chocolate Dreams.
Chocolate Dreams. Oh, God, that's dumb. Around 70%. I love when Garen laughs about something.
I
He's
know.
Like laughing because it's so dumb.
I want a shirt that says Chocolate Dreams.
We can make that happen.
Yes.
I just got a big bowl of Cocoa Puffs on it.
Yes.
Because that's what the chocolate dream is you're
but
having.
But there's a face asleep in the cereal.
Yes.
And then just Z's coming out of the person's head.
Three Z's.
They're asleep dreaming of chocolate, even though their face is in chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Are Cocoa Puffs good?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I haven't had them in a while.
I didn't have, like, sugar cereal like that until I went to college. And then I did taste... Not the Cocoa Puffs, the Cocoa Krispies.
Krispies. Yeah, Cocoa Krispies are good.
Those were good.
I've had them recently.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, in the last year.
Okay.
At some point, I think for maybe Christmas, I got the kids a box of Cocoa Puffs and Cocoa Krispies, and I wrapped them as presents. Because I was like, they don't get to eat this usually. They're going to think that's fun.
I don't know why that just struck me as so funny. I mean, I put like candy and stuff in the stocking, so yeah. I don't know why I found that so funny, but just the idea.
A big box of cereal.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big.
Were they excited?
Yes, because think about it. It's a big present.
Yeah.
It takes up a lot of space, real estate under the tree.
Sure.
And it's like cereal they always ask for at the store, and I'm like, no.
Oh, okay.
No. All right,
got it. You know? That is a great present, though.
So then they're just like, oh my God, I get to eat chocolate for breakfast.
I love it. Cookies for breakfast?
What?
Remember those?
Cookie Crisp,
yeah.
Loved them.
And I always thought as a kid, I was like, oh, I'm on to you, because they would say part of this nutritional breakfast and they would show the sugar cereal surrounded by like fruit. Orange juice, toast. And I was like, oh, I get it. Part of this nutritional. Yeah. The part that doesn't count. I knew big cereal was all over it.
You were the Doogie Howser of cereals.
He wasn't like a what? Because just as I was smart.
Yes.
Oh, okay,
you were
a
cereal
it.
Genius. You couldn't go to medical school.
No. but it's really worked out. I was a savant, a cereal savant. Two scoops? I don't think so. Try again.
How
more
about
like
that?
one and three quarter scoops.
You were all about that serving size, and you knew.
I knew how much calories it was with milk and without milk.
You had
how
it.
Much fiber.
Yeah. And you didn't have to study it. You just looked at those nutritional facts one time. Boom.
Boom. Right in there. Weren't we talking about the lottery?
Let's get back to it. All right. According to Love Money. The band, and also the statistician,
dreams.
70% of lottery winners end up going broke, and around a third will eventually go bankrupt. This has something to do with poor spending habits, toxic investments, and poor accounting.
Mm.
To make matters worse, Love Money also suggests lotto winners are more likely to go bankrupt within 5 years of winning than the average American.
Jesus, that's so sad.
I know. So
this is why we need to be taught financial responsibility in school. And we're not.
No, we aren't. I had a class, though, in high school, I remember, where they taught us how to write checks.
Oh, that's great.
And how to balance a checkbook.
I think that's really important. I never had a class like
but
that.
But I think it was like only because it was for kids who they knew weren't on a college track. So it was like, you're not going to college. So let's.
But why? Kids on a college track
could
need that.
All kids need that. I think they assumed that, like, if you're a kid who's going to college, your parents
but
are.
But you
teaching.
Did go to college.
I did end up going.
Oh,
but, like,
but they didn't
in
think
high
you
school,
were.
They were like, she's not.
Yeah, she's, we know her brothers that she's not going to college.
She's barely going to high school.
Right.
Okay. Are you guys ready to learn how to avoid the lottery curse?
Yeah.
Because this is what we need to know.
Oh, that's the curse. The curse is that you lose all your money.
Yeah, because
I am very interested in this.
The lottery curse, there are many stories. If you Google lottery curse, there'll be like 10 people who lost everything. And there are horrible stories of people who have these awful experiences and tragedies in their lives from the money because of family members who then won't talk to them or people that just like literally get murdered for the money. There's a lot
of
dark stories. Like, you can Google lottery curse and I mean, it's like top 10 people who've been murdered, basically.
Because
money. There's a lot of darkness out there. So if you want to.
Well, you can remain anonymous, right?
In some states.
Okay.
So here is the way to not end up thrown in a 6 feet deep hole.
Right.
By a person who's pretending to be your friend.
Mm.
Who among us doesn't dream of winning the big one?
Sure.
And being set for life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, actually, though, I've actually never fantasized about winning the lottery.
I haven't either.
It's
I was just going along with your premise.
No, it's good, though. It's good, right?
I don't go along. I mean, I don't fantasize, A, because I don't play it. And B, I know this sounds absolutely insane, but I don't think I would feel good about winning money. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
I would feel. I mean, I wouldn't feel bad about winning $500 or $5,000.
But like
billions. But billions, yeah. I would feel gross, I think.
I think it's
I
also
wouldn't
just,
feel right about it.
It's never, I mean, money's nice, but I've never been a person who's that motivated by large sums of money.
Right.
Or thought of myself like, what if I was on a yacht? Like,
yeah.
I think my fantasies are always like, I'm signing my best-selling novel and all of the people who I've been jealous of are there
right.
and like look up to me. Or like, it's always where I'm successful and all the people who I've been jealous of are like seeing it.
That's but, my fantasy. Yes, like my fantasy.
If you were successful, then you'd also have money.
But it's from my own work.
Yeah,
that's, it's like I guess from that's my own efforts.
Yeah.
It's not just like money just showed up.
Right. Again, if it were in some reasonable amount.
Yeah.
If it were $5,000. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. If it were more than... I just think I would feel... I mean, you could give a lot of it away.
Yes.
But I
agree.
Know.
Well, some of these winners, the dream becomes a living nightmare. Daniel.
Yeah.
So here's a guy, Willie Hurt. He won $3.1 million in the Michigan lottery, Garen.
Oh, my dad hates that guy.
In 1989. Yeah. Well, within just a... You know what? Maybe your dad's not going to feel the same in a minute, because in just a couple years, Hurt was divorced, estranged from his wife and children, addicted to crack cocaine.
Jesus. Well, so, if you got the money.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I mean, might as well... I would have got something better than crack, but,
yeah,
you know, that's what he liked.
Powder.
Oh, right up the nose.
Susan,
treat yourself.
Yes.
You won the lottery.
Yes.
You don't got to go cheap. Suzanne Mullins won $4.2 million in the Virginia lottery. After a family member suffered a lengthy illness, she spent $1 million on his care and went into debt to the tune of nearly $200,000.
But that's not because she won the...
It is. It is. She wouldn't have had the money. Okay. We're going to talk now about Al and Carmen Castellano. I think that's how you pronounce their last name.
Okay.
They won $141 million in California's lottery in 2001. They have been largely unchanged by their windfall. They have the same circle of friends. They still go on family trips, though more comfortably.
Yeah.
They made sure they put their money to use rather than being changed by sudden riches. The Castellanos were interviewed regarding how they managed their record-setting lottery win. And based on that, the HowStuffWorks.com compiled a list of five lottery survival tips. Compiled a list of five lottery survival tips. And I'm going to give these tips to you guys now.
Okay, great.
The first one is slow down and lay low.
Okay.
Which I think is just good life advice.
Sure.
Right, in general.
I couldn't be any slower or lower, so. I don't...
You love a good
done
nap.
Done and done. I know.
You love a good couch read.
I know. My son went to start school yesterday, and I'm so proud of myself. I did not take a nap.
Oh, man. It's hard to not take a nap sometimes.
I know.
Because it's just nice.
If I have stuff to do, then I'm fine. It just, you know, if I don't have stuff to do, then
Couch, it calls you. I can give you lists.
Of stuff to do?
Yes. I need help.
Okay.
All right. The Castellanos won the largest single jackpot in California history. So they were instantly sought by the media, but no one knew who had the winning ticket. So the media had no one to hound. So the California, apparently you can remain anonymous. They don't announce who the winner is.
Okay.
So they hunkered down in their home for 5 days, creating their plan with their children and only a few trusted others who they determined could help them. While they planned, they also tried to appear as normal as possible. The neighborhood children who played with their grandkids came over as usual. Al went to the store where he bought the winning ticket and chatted with the owner, who had no idea he was speaking, you know, with Richie Richardson.
Yeah.
As a precaution, the family parked their cars several blocks away from their house so they could make a getaway if their winning status leaked somehow.
Oh, got it, got it.
And when they cashed...
Why would that help to make a getaway if you're away from your car?
I don't know.
This doesn't
make
sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Uber to their car? And when they cashed their ticket, they went to a different lotto office that wasn't the closest to their house, like an out-of-the-way one.
Smart.
Carmen, the wife, said, you know, they knew the media would be waiting at the nearest lotto office.
Oh, because they know where it
was sold.
They always announce where it was sold. So there are offices you go to? Is that still how it works?
Yes, apparently, at least as of 2001.
Okay.
And in my head, I'm just like, how do they know all this? Like, how do they know to do all this? So... because they did all this and got all their ducks in a row, they were able to accept their winning, you know, like on their own terms. That brings us to number two.
Yeah.
Hire professional assistants.
What?
Yeah. As they planned how they would come forward, the Castellanos knew they needed help, not just with handling their money, but in dealing with the media.
Well, why did they even have to if you could remain anonymous?
Well, because you can't remain anonymous forever.
You can't?
I don't think so. No. So the Castellanos turned to people trusted by family members. Their son-in-law, a chief financial officer, recommended legal and accounting firms. I think when it's this much money, you just can't do it by yourself.
Okay. Because all I'm thinking is, well, now you're already spending your money on some hoo-ha.
You need to.
Okay. All right.
You can't. Penny-wise, pound foolish.
All right. Daniel. All right. You're right.
Carmen had a close friend in the television business who recommended a media representative. Based on these intimate recommendations, they cobbled together this expert team. Others recommend that lottery winners quietly audition a number of professionals who can assist them with finances, legal issues, and publicity. Ask for references, research them thoroughly, and always interview at least one professional with no connection to anyone you know.
Okay.
I think just because you don't want that bias or whatever. Here's the here's some complicated stuff. The ins and outs of the tax code that governs winnings are difficult for even the pros to handle, let alone a lottery winner. So if you assemble this professional help, do it before coming forward.
Okay, so I have another question, but maybe you'll get to it later.
Okay.
Did they take the lump sum or did they get the... Okay.
I'm going to get to that. It's a very good question.
Because I know that's a thing. You can take more and have it spread out over more time, or you can less and get it all at once.
You are absolutely right, Danielle. It's a very good question. Okay.
And then, of course, 50% is taken for taxes?
Much is taken.
Yeah.
So, number three, splurge on yourself within reason. When the Castellanos won their $141 million, Carmen initially decided that the family would stay in the modest home they'd lived in throughout their marriage. However, that was no longer an option after people the Castellanos didn't know began coming to their home to ask the couple for money.
Ugh.
So it inevitably people do find out. They moved to a larger and newer home in nearby affluent San Jose community. They also purchased a vacation home overlooking Monterey Bay and hired a staff to help with cooking and cleaning. Yeah, you did. They're like, I'm done all that.
Yeah, this seems like a lot.
The couple spends their winnings on vacations for themselves and their family and has paid off their children's student loans.
Wow.
The lavish life one might imagine for two people who netted around $70 million is nowhere to be found near the Castellanos, however. Sounds kind of lavish to me.
I know. It sounds to me it does.
Financial advisors agree that the lifestyle a couple has set up for themselves is a sensible one.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think that's compared to how a lot of people who get the lottery,
they're
just like immediately go buy a Lamborghini and start handing out money.
Yeah.
The moral here, take a vacation away from your money during the first month after winning. When you return, park it in some sensible investments. Number four, choose how your money will help. Janita Lee, I'm not sure how her first name is pronounced, who won more than $18 million in the Missouri lottery, found that a fortune can dry up quickly. After just 8 years, she was down to a mere $700.
Jesus.
What makes her situation really heartbreaking is that she lost her money by donating it to worthy causes.
So did she give up working?
She just donated it to so many different places.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying if you could do that if you also have an income coming in.
I think she didn't.
Can't do both.
Yeah. So this is what the Castellanos did.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen, within about 30 minutes, was sitting down writing a list of all the groups she wanted to help. But then they created the Castellanos Family Foundation, a funding branch of the family's lottery holdings. They endowed initially with $5 million, and they focused on philanthropy of Latin American arts, culture, and community. So this narrow focus vetted potential candidates.
Mm.
And by establishing the foundation, they didn't have to personally field requests for money and contributions.
So smart.
Go to the foundation. Sorry.
Right.
You know.
Now I like that it's narrow. That's really smart.
Yes, because then it's like you're like, I do want to help those kittens in Argentina. That sounds terrible. And then there's this like people who are like, oh, but all these children have cancer. And you're like, yes, of course I want to help the children with cancer.
Right.
I think
pick one thing.
You got to just go, this is what we're helping.
Right.
Lump sum or annual payments?
Yes.
This is what we want to know, right?
Okay, yeah.
In most, excuse me.
You got so emotional about it.
I'm going to cry about the money. Lump sums. In most cases, taking a lump sum means getting a smaller payout than you'd get from an annuitized arrangement where the state or lottery corporation pays you winnings in yearly installments.
Right.
So why would you go for less with a lump sum? 75% of all winners, including the Castellanos, opt for the lump sum.
Huh.
It simply makes more sense. Annuitized payments include the roughly 5% interest the state earns on the bonds it takes out to guarantee your winnings. Most lottery winners bet they can get a better rate by investing the lump sum. So they're like, I'm going to invest my money. I don't want you to do it. I'm going to take out all my money and I'm going to earn more money with my money instead. You don't get to make money off my money.
Okay.
But some people are like,
may have exhausted my understanding of.
Well, some people are like, finance. I don't trust myself with all that money because I'm going to just blow it.
And right. That's why I would think you would do it yearly.
So I'm going to just take it yearly. But people like the Castellanos who are like, we know we're good with money already.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of income and we put three kids through college. So we're Damn. Responsible.
Right.
We trust ourselves to find good people to help us invest this money.
Right.
And get returns on it and right. make money off of our money instead of saying, we aren't that good with money, so you right. you hold on to it and give us
some.
So
you're getting
every
year. Less, but if you invest it, you can be earning interest on it yes. all those years ahead of time, 20 years ahead of time.
Right.
Okay, it makes sense. I never thought of it that way. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Dying shouldn't be an issue in your decision. Lottery winners, annuitized or lump sum, the money becomes part of your estate. Okay. So you don't lose it when you die.
Oh.
Oh, you mean if you die and you haven't received it yes, all, your estate will still receive it.
Your heirs will receive the payment. Okay, okay. So you don't have to be like, oh, I better take it all now because I'm 89.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So are you ready for a story?
Yeah.
All right.
I like that story. I like the story of those people turning out well. I have a feeling this next story is not going to have such a happy ending.
This is not going to have a happy ending. This is Jack Whitaker, who won the largest Powerball lottery in West Virginia's history.
Okay.
So, in the days before Christmas in 2002, Jack bought a Powerball lottery ticket along with his biscuits.
Biscuits?
He would go to this gas station and fill up his truck on his way to work at like 4:30 in the morning and buy some these biscuits. And he bought only when the Powerball got big. And he bought these lottery tickets. Anything less than a couple hundred million wasn't worth his trouble. It was about 11.
That's my point. That's what I don't understand. Well,
You're not going to understand a lot about what Jack does. It was about 11 o'clock Christmas night, 2002, when Channel 3 out of Charleston announced what it said were the winning Powerball numbers. Jack was slumbering when his wife of nearly 40 years, Jewel, jostled him awake to say that his lottery ticket matched 4 out of 5. He was clueless about what kind of payoff a 4-number match brought, but he figured it had to be good for at least $100,000. He went back to sleep while visions of a 6-figure windfall danced in his head. 5:15 a.m., he snapped on the television and heard to his surprise that the winning ticket had been sold at the C&L Superserve, which is where he gets his biscuits.
Biscuit place.
What are the odds? He was thinking that just one little convenience store would sell 2 lottery tickets. Or 2 lucky tickets. Just then, the winning numbers flashed. The number broadcast the night before had been wrong. He had a match on all 5 numbers.
Wait a second. How did they get the wrong number?
I don't know. Maybe his wife, made a mistake.
Oh.
Maybe she read it wrong. She never read
it. Oh, I thought you were saying that.
Jewel didn't have her readers on. Jewel needed readers.
Yeah, I mean, she needed a jewel.
She did.
Isn't that what's called a jewel?
An eyeglass jewel?
Yeah.
Or, the thing you look at diamonds with?
Yeah, yeah.
We're getting everything right.
Yep.
Jack Whitaker had just won $314 million, the largest undivided lottery jackpot in history. He opted to take his prize as a one-time payout of $113,386,407.77 after taxes.
Oh, after taxes. Okay.
Yeah. I guess. Yes, it says. Not I guess. It says after taxes.
So 103 million something?
113.
13 million.
Yeah. He was determined, this is important, just so you know, he said, to live as if nothing had changed, except that he could spend more time with his family. He proclaimed that he would tithe a biblical 10% of his winnings, donate millions to his family's favorite pastors, and build big new churches.
Boy.
He vowed to start a charitable foundation to help needy West Virginians.
Okay, that part's good.
On New Year's Eve 2002, so, a week later,
yeah.
West Virginia's most famous do-gooder strolled into the Pink Pony. That's not a church. Hint. A strip club in the nearby town of Cross Lanes, and according to the manager, slapped $50,000 onto the bar.
What?
Yeah. So that's a hint of what's going to keep happening. Okay. He had to stop going to the C&L to get his morning biscuit because so many people from around the country and even like someone from Israel would hang out there to beg him for money for their sick kid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, probably some of those people had sick kids. But
yeah.
This is what commonly happens to lottery winners.
Right.
Brenda, who sold him the winning ticket, he promised he was going to help her.
And he did make good on his promise. He let her pick out a new Jeep. He bought her a $123,000 house.
Jesus
and gave her a
Christ.
Check for $44,000.
What?
She didn't know how he came up with that sum. She was too stunned to ask. And she says, Brenda said, it was overwhelming. She grew up on welfare in a family of seven children. Wow. Brenda's grown daughter, who didn't work, figured that since her ma was rich, she should buy her a trailer and a new car. Brenda did. Other relatives demanded help. Brenda couldn't give. Brenda and one of her sisters stopped talking.
Oh, wow. So the curse is spreading.
The curse is spreading. Not long after Jack's win, he started staying out at night. Jewel was beside herself. She loved Jack since he was a broke boy from a hill clan with the unofficial motto, don't start a bar fight, but never lose one.
Don't put $50,000 on a bar.
Yeah, I think that's a better motto.
Yeah, get that stitched on your pillow.
On March 24th, 2003, Jack was at Tri-State Racetrack and Gaming Center, a 90,000 square foot gambling mecca with 1,800 slot machines and 15 Greyhound races daily. What happened there is the subject of lawsuits filed against Jack.
What?
In Kanawha County. And no, it's not because of the dogs being forced to race.
Right.
He was in a high roller room with a woman, not his wife. Floor attendant Kitty French claims he had been drinking. Jack grabbed the woman's breasts and crotch.
Oh, Jesus.
The woman won on the slot machine, and they were counting out the woman's winnings. They alleged that Jack grabbed her hair, laid hands on her backside, and then when she was leaning down to refill the slot machine, Jack grabbed that woman's ponytail, shoved her head in the direction of his crotch.
Jesus Christ.
Snapped another woman's bra. Jack, in court filings, denies the allegations. So, I mean, okay. he said it doesn't happen. So, right. You know, he probably. Okay. Over the months, Jack grew slovenly. A woman from the strip club says, Misty, her name was Misty. He would come in a sloppy shirt, all wrinkled. His hat would be dirty. He'd be unshaven. He became demanding. At first, he was like, I'm Jack Whitaker. I want all this money. Yay for me. Later, it was like, I'm Jack Whitaker. You'll do what I say. I have more money than God. Who talks like that? It was like, oh.
Apparently, both those characters.
Exactly. It was like all the money was eating away at whatever was good in him. It reminded me like Lord of the Rings. How that little guy, what's his name, Gollum?
Oh.
Was with his precious. It just consumes you. You become the money. You are no longer a person.
Is this the stripper talking?
Yeah.
She's a big Tolkien fan.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's strippers can like Lord of the Rings too.
I don't see why not.
Stripper nerds. Stripper nerds. It's a thing.
Yeah.
One night in August 2003, 8 months after he'd won the Powerball, Jack came to the club alone. He let it be known that he had more than $500,000 in a black briefcase sitting on the front seat.
I got no empathy for this guy.
Lincoln Navigator, which he'd left idling at the club door. Somebody should rob him, Misty said, according to a criminal complaint police later filed. A bartender told police she heard Misty make that remark and saw her open two blue capsules and dump their contents into a wine punch
Misty!
Fruit juice drink to try to knock out Jack. According to police, Jeff, who's her partner, also works at the strip club. I think he did maybe the music.
Yeah.
Went into the parking lot, pulled his sleeves.
He loves C.S. Lewis.
He loves C.S. Lewis. Of course. That's how they bonded.
Yeah.
He pulled his sleeves over his hands so he wouldn't leave fingerprints, smashed the driver's side window of Jack's Navigator, grabbed the briefcase, and hid it behind a dumpster. It was recovered after Jack realized it was gone and called the police. Misty and Jeff declined to discuss details.
You said he left the car running?
Yeah.
Why would you leave the car running and then come in and tell everybody you had $500,000? He was just drunk or something.
He just always bragged about his money and his life. Misty and Jeff declined to discuss details of the allegations, but contend they're innocent and never drugged or robbed Jack. I mean, they said they didn't do it, you guys. Okay.
I mean, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, honestly.
If you can't trust a stripper, who can you trust?
I know, right? Especially one who loves Lord of the Rings. All right, so I'm going to try. This is going to start to get sad, you guys. So Jack had a grand.
I think we left that at shove the woman's face in his crotch.
Okay, so gird your loins.
Okay.
Or yourself. Your loins are fine. Brandy, his granddaughter, suddenly had these large sums of cash. He would just start handing her $5,000. And concerned about her security, the family pulled Brandy out of high school. So now she's not going to high school.
This is a really excellent solution.
Right?
That's
a good
problem.
Idea. Let's take her out of high school. Old friendships frayed. Before the lottery, she was normal, real friendly, says Tim Cobb, 18, who describes himself as one of Brandy's best friends at the time. She let the money go to her head. He doesn't sound like he's from West Virginia, does he?
Why?
Because he doesn't have the accent. Oh.
He moved there.
It's weird. Yeah. Okay.
He moved there.
All right.
Brandy, who began doing drugs to escape feelings of isolation, a family friend says Brandy became a crackhead. If you want to know the truth, says J.C. Shaver, if I've ever heard a more West Virginia name in my life, I don't know. 20, who saw her smoke a lot of crack, big rocks of crack.
Oh, this is so sad.
I know. Okay.
I love the families. It's too dangerous for her to go to school with all this cash. Keep her home.
Yeah, and just quit
keep school.
So they bought her like 4 cars, kept giving her like $5,000 a day. And then he would pay like boys to hang out with her to keep her safe.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So I'm going to summarize a couple things that happened because it's a lot. His car again was broken into and $100,000 was stolen off the seat.
Wait, a second time?
Yeah, a second time.
Okay.
They think it was one of the 3 young men who had been hanging out with Brandy were arrested.
No kidding.
Jack had a girlfriend and they had like a secret love nest. She got robbed at gunpoint. He got 2 DUIs.
Oh, that's sick.
A teenager died of a drug overdose in his lake house.
Oh,
I'm just. These are broad strokes because it gets too sad. Jewel left him.
No kidding.
She was done. She was like, you're.
Does she get any of the money?
I think she did.
Jesus, that is so sad.
So I wanted, I like to bring things down.
But I don't even, in this case, well, it is a curse for all those around him. But he did this to himself.
Absolutely.
I mean, this guy was a piece of work.
Yeah. Mm. I think, I think he was already kind of rotten at the core. And then this just allowed
him. It's just so funny that in the first day, he's going to tithe 10% to the church. And then a week later, he's slapping down $50,000 at his strip bar.
He did build some churches.
Oh, he did. Okay.
But like nobody wants to go to them, apparently, because they're connected to him.
Because there's a 2-drink minimum.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, wow. That was fascinating. Really interesting.
I summarized that. If you want to read about him, there's an excellent piece of journalism in the Washington Post about Jack Whitaker that goes into way more detail than I just did.
Oh, I will.
That's, a quarter or, 4 times of what I just.
Okay.
Anyway, it's really good.
Jack Whitaker. I will. Thank you.
Even his name is like Ozark villain.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But it gets very in depth into the stories of the different people and of the strip club. And I just had to summarize it because I was like, this isn't a 2-hour podcast.
Well, that's amazing. And we're going to take a break.
Yes,
and then we'll be back with our guest.
Can't wait.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Welcome back to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Christine.
How have you been breaking lately?
I've been breaking. I've been break dancing. I laid out a piece of cardboard.
Yep.
On the ground.
Out front.
Did some spins.
In the heat.
Ended with my hand on my head, elbow on the ground.
I know you could do it.
Pointed at you.
I hope you did it. You know where they've painted that nice rainbowy area in the front of that building?
Yes.
We should be taking pics out there for Instagram. It's so Instagrammy. Yeah.
Yes, we should.
That's where you need to be breakdancing.
Yeah, we did do that in grade school. We did put a cardboard out behind the schoolroom. And did you guys do that in Ohio?
No, there was not a lot of breakdancing. A lot of double dutch.
Oh, yeah.
two jump ropes. Yep. And I don't know what they call it these days because it seems like it's not okay to say it this anymore.
Chinese jump rope.
I was going to say Chinese jump rope.
No, it's Chinese jump rope. I don't think it's offensive.
In, outside, side, on, and out.
Yeah, yeah. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Oh. That's a different one. Didn't do it that way.
Oh, you didn't. You'd make it higher, lower, down.
We would do that. But
I was like the queen of Chinese jump rope. I could get really high.
I bet.
Yep. I was really good. And I would practice at home.
Yes.
And I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two chairs. And they would always fall over. Didn't work very well. When you don't have siblings, I had a brother, but he wasn't going to.
He wasn't going to Chinese jump rope.
He was going to help me with Chinese jump rope. Yeah, it was like it was an obsession. It was an obsession.
I got my kids a Chinese jump rope recently, and I could still remember how to do it. I couldn't actually do it well.
Uh-huh.
You know, my knees were like, no.
Uh-huh.
But I showed them. I still remembered, and I was very excited.
They don't care.
They didn't care.
I
brought it to my kids' elementary school. It was like the little school that could when my daughter started going there. No one went there, and we kind of changed the school around. And I'm like, I know. Chinese jump rope.
That's weird.
Let's do this. And they were just like, what?
I don't understand why it went out of style.
They were like, do you know we have YouTube?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need a rope string.
If I need to learn something, I'm just going to Google it and watch YouTube and it'll be fine. I'm going to change the oil next.
Yes.
Like that. I know. It's crazy.
The voice you're hearing is our special guest, Rachel Quaintance.
That's probably
so excited. No, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
We love it.
I just didn't want the audience to be at sea. But I feel like there's an expression like at elbows and noodles or something. I know that's
bridge
not right.
Bridge and tunnel?
Yes, at bridge and tunnel.
We don't
I didn't want their hair to be sprayed up and them
wearing exclamation perfume.
Well, yes, right. Anyway, what did we talk about in the first half of the show was
how to survive being a millionaire.
And now we're going to talk about
how to survive wanting to be a millionaire.
Yes, with Rachel. So Rachel, slap it down.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, first of all, we should say that Rachel is a very talented actress. And you do voice work too, right?
The voice work has actually been great the past couple years. That's like...
Because you have such a good voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, whatever. You know what I mean? Every now and then I think, should I go work at Target? Should I be making money for the family or not?
Right.
And then ultimately I decide no.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, we see what happens when you try to make money with this story.
Yes.
Right?
Danielle and I are committed to not making money.
Yeah. It's working out really well.
Yeah, that's our podcast. We don't love men and let's not make money. There you go. We do love men. I'm kidding.
Do.
Yeah, so in 2000, at the very height of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Regis.
Oh.
I'm not talking, don't come at me with, was it Meredith Vieira? It was Regis.
Those were the days.
That was 35 million people a night.
Whoa.
Watching.
It was an event.
That's Super Bowl numbers.
And exactly, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was a waitress and I'm
This
like,
is in New York or Los Angeles?
Never, or what am I saying? I'm looking at that sign that says never not funny.
this was never
millionaire.
Not funny.
It wasn't funny. Millionaires in New York.
But you were living in Los Angeles.
But I'm in LA.
And you were working at Chin Chin,
I was working at Chin Chin on Sunset.
Oh my gosh.
And dreaming of being a millionaire, right?
Sure.
Because, I was making whatever, terrible money, whatever. Maybe it's my personality, maybe the tips, who knows? So to get on Millionaire, John and I were talking about this. My husband, we were talking about it because I'm like, I want to remember some of those little things. And he remembered things. So basically, after the show, they would say, remember, the phone lines are open.
Right.
And you could call to try and be a contestant.
Okay.
And so John and I would do that, but there'd be times you couldn't get in. It would just be busy signals and that window closed and whatever. So one time I got in. Now, keep in mind, am I smart? Yes.
Yes.
Ish. My family is like, it's like we're street smart. We're common sense smart, right?
Okay.
Like,
sure.
I went to Emerson in Boston, which is a liberal arts school, but my classes were like the history of musical theater.
Okay. You know what I mean? All right.
It didn't some, pepper in, like my math class, because my daughter's like a genius and she's whatever, all the APs, 4.0 or first year of college, blah, blah. She's like, what was your math class at Emerson? And I'm like, math. I don't know. Like I don't know what it was. I think it was
numbers. And I added them, I subtracted them.
So, am I smart? Yes, in a lot of ways.
Right.
But then there are like book smart people. So my husband actually is the book smart person who really should have been the one on this trajectory.
Okay.
Instead of me. So I get in.
Yeah.
I answer the questions. It's beep, beep, beep.
I remember this. Yeah. I remember Jimmy and I doing this. I totally forgot.
Exactly.
You would call and you had to put something in order?
Yes. And it would be like, put through it. And you had 314, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so there, I'm like.
So you have to do a little quiz on the phone.
But it's like an automated thing.
Automated.
They ask you like a trivia question.
Exactly. About just like Millionaire.
Okay.
Which of the following, put the following in order.
That's what I remember. Right? Yeah.
And so then it was like, oh, you made it to the next round. Me. And I'm like, okay. So they give me a date and time. And I'm like, hey, John, I need you on speakerphone at this date and time.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous. It's such a bad setup.
It's like Cyrano.
Like, no, I'm smart. I'm smart, John. And so he was, struggling at some, whatever job he was at, some website, which is long gone, back in the heyday of everyone's got a web job. Yeah. And, so I'm at Chin Chin. I think at the time we were probably still wearing our vests.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'd changed the polos yet. I think we were still kind of fancy. And so I'm in the office and everyone, what's going on? And I got John on speaker.
Oh my God.
And then I get the call and I'm like, did you hear that question? He's like, yeah. 2214. Okay,
so it was still automated at this point.
Still automated.
Okay. Oh, I was like, how are you going to have him do the?
Okay. Exactly. You're going to hear him.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, be your own smart person again.
Well, also,
he can't go on the show.
He's
with
not going to be on the show with you.
or is he?
Damn. Okay, all right.
So it was just like, oh my God, what? This is such a bad. But you've seen Millionaire.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can go until. You can know a lot of answers.
Yeah.
And I'm much smarter now, I think, than I was then, just because it was like, I'm not inquisitive then. Who cares?
Right.
I did my shows and musical theater and blah, blah. So I'm probably smarter now. But so then I'm like waiting tables, and I think it was probably flip phone time or the Nokia, whatever. Ring, ring. Hi, is this Rachel? Yes. And I'm literally like at a table.
Yeah.
I'm like, excuse me a second. And I'm like, yes. They're like, congrats. You're coming to New York.
Wow.
You've been picked.
Wait, that's like, all you had to do was answer two questions?
Not two questions, but two chunks of questions.
Yes.
Oh, chunks.
Chunks. Yeah. It wasn't just one. It was like four questions. It wasn't 10. It was
and
like.
It wasn't a personality interview.
No.
Because it's all automated.
It's all just them picking. It was not. I don't think it was personality. Maybe I had to email. I don't think it was.
Okay, that's amazing.
So I'm like, okay, I guess they're going to New York. So I don't even think I studied or anything.
Rachel,
what I mean?
This is killing me. I'm just going to interrupt briefly to tell you, to tell the audience that because Rachel told me that this was what her story was about, she did not tell me any of the details. We have been watching Millionaire at home.
Yeah.
We've been watching it with Chris Harrison, the
bachelorette
dude, as the host. And they had this week, which was like, you fucked it up. We kind of like having people back who had screwed up.
Okay. Sure.
And I guess it was just to save money because none of these people got past like any. And I'm like, I'm literally shouting in my house. Like, I can't believe the bad decisions people are making.
Right.
And this is probably, I'm going to probably end up screaming at you.
Yeah.
But like things I know that I'm like, oh my fucking God, how do you not know that? Not that I know everything, but it just happens to be like, anyway. So
it's just one of those things that like, so I'm like, oh my God.
So did John fly out with you?
Yeah. You get you and a guest.
Oh.
So it's you and a guest. They put you up at a hotel. For some reason, I thought there was like a fun get to know each other party, which is like stupid. And so I'm like knocking on the, she lives at that. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, is there? And she's like, no, I just need to give you your packet.
Oh,
and
your my God.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. I thought this was weird. My younger sister and her husband flew out.
Okay.
We got a free hotel room. And they're in Minnesota. Excuse me. And so this was 2000. My sister's going to be the person in the audience with me.
Okay.
Zach, I don't know what her husband was doing. Probably just walking around the city. Oh, him and John walked to the Strand and did some fun stuff. And then John was one of my phone friends.
Right.
Yes.
And he was at the office, the website company had an office in New York.
Oh,
whatever.
Okay.
So he's there with good internet. He told me last night, he's like, girl, I had Flags of the World open on,
state
capitals, vice presidents.
So do people do that?
Sure. If you're the phone-a-friend, have.
But is there time?
There's only 30 seconds.
Yeah, there's not.
So there's,
he had all the tabs open.
More importantly, does your husband call you girl?
No, that's more me.
All right. I just want to make sure. That would be upsetting.
It would be upsetting.
Girl.
Girl, no. I cannot sleep.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. Bitch. No, he doesn't do that.
Bitch, please.
So my sister's there with me, and you know, you ride the little van, you go to ABC or whatever.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
It's Regis. It's Shiny Floor, the original Shiny Floor show.
I mean, and I don't know if they've changed. Like, I haven't watched for years, but like, it's no joke when the boom, boom,
I
dum.
Know. It's yes. So intimidating.
Very intimidating. So my group came in.
Now, before you go on, at any point, are you like, oh, fuck, I didn't answer these questions. My husband did. What am I going to do?
I mean, I think I probably answered one out of four. So I'm riding on my Fargo Street smarts. Yes.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You're not nervous.
But okay. You know what I'm honestly thinking? I'm not going to get in the chair. That's honestly kind of what I was thinking.
Oh, I forgot. They did it a different
fastest finger.
Oh, I totally forgot. Exactly. They didn't do that in the more recent ones. Okay.
So back in 2000, it was fastest finger. Eight people maybe sitting there.
Okay.
And so you don't know if you're getting in the chair or not, right? So
and if you don't get in, are you in the thing for the next show?
You're in the thing for as long as that 1 hour. So if everybody eats up 1 hour, you're just
done. You don't get another chance. Okay.
And a part of me, I think, thought, I'm not going to get in the chair, but it's been a fun trip to New York.
Sure.
My sister came, one of my sisters came, blah, blah, blah. So thankfully, the only thing that saved me, I had done a commercial up in San Francisco. So at least it was like, I'm an actor, right? Yeah. So there was like a regional Cellular One commercial I did with Tim Lovestead back in the day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, back in the day. Now his daughter goes to school with my daughter. Very weird. And And then I'd also just done the TV show Providence, where I was a sign language interpreter for a monkey. And I look at this and I'm like, how? The balls on me in general. Yes. Like, Lord, give me the balls of a mediocre white man.
Yes.
Because that's how I was acting back then, apparently. I mean, they're like, oh, we need a sign language interpreter, this role. And Bruce submitted me. And I was like, okay. And I totally was like, bought an ASL book. And I'm like,
oh, my
okay.
God.
I did take ASL.
Okay.
One semester.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's like me being a French interpreter. Like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not really going to work at all.
Mais oui.
Yeah.
And so I go into the audition. Yeah. I do the sign. She's like, I get a call back. I'm like, holy shit. And I get the job.
You had to sign the words that were in the script?
Yes. Yeah.
Like the whole thing?
No, it was where is your home? Was that I'm signing right now for Podcast Land. So it was a monkey who escaped.
What was Providence?
With Milena Karakiris or whatever the Greek woman is.
I remember her.
Very good. And
Farrell from MASH.
Oh, my God.
He was on it.
BJ.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know MASH, but I don't know the roles. And so thankfully I had that. But the worst thing on that gig, this actually could have been, and it turns out I have a lot of embarrassing things, but they kind of poof away. So on set, they had a real sign language guy to correct people, whatever. And so he starts trying to talk to me, and I'm just like, And I just freaking walk away. Oh, I need coffee.
I'm getting into the role. Roll dice.
Ridiculous. You know? But it was so stupid. It was nonsensical.
Because didn't need a real.
Monkey does not know the word homesick. There is no, where is your home? He's homesick. Literally.
Like, what was Providence about?
It
was
a hospital?
No. I don't know. The monkey escaped. There was another woman who was an interpreter who had more scenes than I did. But so thankfully I had that, so I didn't have to say I was a waiter. I could say I'm an actor. And so anyway, but before that, fastest finger.
Okay.
A guy finishes before me, in the chair. Yeah. Okay, and we're like, whoo, all right. And so fastest finger comes up, and it's put the following in order from shortest to longest.
These are hard, these things.
You got to think quickly, but it's easy for me because it was the name of some sitcom, whatever. Friends, CSI, SNL, Masterpiece
You
Theater.
Mean which ones have lasted the longest on
no.
TV?
The longest time, words.
Minutes.
Oh,
so 30, 60,
okay.
90.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Okay. 30, 60, 90, Masterpiece Theater. And I did it super quick. And I was like, why did you do this so quick? And I knew. I did have my Friends, whatever. You know, CSI, SNL, Masterpiece Theater.
Right.
And even before it was done, I knew I was going to be
in the chair.
Picked. Yeah, in
so
the chair.
So were you freaking out?
Yeah, yeah, I was. John was like, Rachel, your face, you were like, you know, it's ridiculous. Oh, ridiculous. artists. So I'm like, oh my God, my sister there. And she's, you know, and they know whose person is who. So she had a spotlight on her at different points. So it's like, okay, back from things. So Regis says, all right, well, you're from Los Angeles. Okay.
So you're an actor.
They're an actor. Yep. Yep. Okay. Well, when worked with a monkey. Like, it's just, and I look pretty enough. You know what I mean? I look fine. Right. It's, you know, so. Oh. The first $100 question, because I made notes because John and I were like, this is important, we remember. Yeah. The first $100 question, easy, dumb one, you know, what's
joke
your name?
Answers.
Yeah, joke answer, basically. Okay, but still, you're like, right. 200, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'm pretty sure it was something to do with a compilation of music is called a what? Or something, and it was like composition was the answer.
Okay.
Like I was like, that's a little weird, but
yeah,
it's composition because God, that would have sucked being a zero person.
Yeah.
So then the 500, I don't remember, and I get to 1,000, and it says, which of the following animal is a sidewinder?
Okay.
And it's like, you know, crab, snake, iguana, something, whatever it
snake.
Is. Exactly, it's a snake.
Yes.
But I was so scared because I'm like, sidewinder. And I'm like, don't crabs walk sideways? So I'm like, Reg, I'm going to ask the audience.
Oh, on your third question?
I did not want to go Rachel. Out. I wanted that $1,000. I mean, okay. And of course, in my head, I dreamed I thought we were going to go buy a house. So the audience is like, you know, 90% snake. Basically, the audience is like, fuck you, snake.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Okay. And Reg is like, hey, okay. So then, as much as I'd like to change history, the $2,000 question comes that says, the following is used in masonry and tile work and to fill in holes.
And your father is?
He's a contractor.
Okay.
Keep in mind, at that time, I had not done a lot of work with him. Now, of course, he and I are in the thick of it. We just finished another bathroom at my house.
So they're like nitty gritty.
No, my dad is hardcore. He's done two of my kitchens. In different houses. Kitchens,
she doesn't have two kitchens. In one.
I don't. Well, you never know. I might go orthodox.
If you win, yeah.
I might, you know, have this and that. You know, I've got the milk over there and the meat over there.
Oh, my God.
We looked at a house like
that
once.
Anyway. I have some work for you, but we can talk after the
show. Oh, my dad's ridiculous. And he just had a stroke, but, like, there he was.
He, like, literally will have a heart attack and get up and, like.
That's what he does.
Fill in your
He literally had, he had terrible COVID, which I was talking about with Garen before. Then in March of this year. Suddenly his whole right side gave out, plonk, flops over, and they gave him the injection, which you can, like, get it in 3 hours and maybe you'll be 100%. And so I drove to Arizona where he lived, and I'm like, Dad, enough already. Like, I'll come visit you anytime you want. Yeah. This is getting freaking stupid of you. Stents in his heart. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so that was in March. And in the beginning of July, he's at my house in his tool belt, yelling at me about what is 5/8 compared to 1/2 inch. I'm like, I don't know. Is that bigger? Rachel, use your brain. 5/8.
Well, you don't remember from math?
I don't remember. Exactly. They didn't teach me that at math.
From plain math.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he's ridiculous. He's like my right arm's kind of weak. Can you drill this screw down? And I'm like, and he's like, God damn it. Give me the drill. So, and I think I had him as a potential phone-a-friend, because John reminded me you have like 4 people you can have as a phone-a-friend.
Yeah.
Right, so if the category...
Oh, I forgot this too.
Right. Exactly. I had 2. And John was like, yeah, you had my dad, because John's dad, my husband's dad, is a genius. He went to whatever in Princeton and blah, 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 and he was a civil rights attorney. So that asked me a civil rights attorney question.
Right.
John is just overall smart. And then I think I did my dad for a little bit of the gritty, non-college educated, you know, but smarter than anybody who knows 5/8 and 1/2 inch. And I think that was it. But maybe John's friend Rao, too.
So Calk. But you didn't say Calk. What did
no,
you
no,
say?
No, no, okay. No. So used in masonry and blah, blah, blah. Epoxy, grout, spackle, Calk.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, well, Regis, you know, I'm going to use the 50-50.
Okay.
Because I hadn't done my kitchens and bathrooms at that point. And... and bung bung, of course, spackle. I mean, yeah, spackle and grout stay up. So I go, see spackle. And I hear a person in the audience, not Ashley, not my sister, go, oh no.
Oh, no.
That's what I hear someone say in the audience. And Regis goes, final answer? And I go, let's wait a second here, Regis.
Oh, because you heard that.
I heard her. Oh, no. You're not supposed to say anything.
No, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna use my phone a friend. It was so freaking stupid. And so we called John.
Wait, why didn't you call your dad?
Oh, maybe he wasn't on the list.
Oh, okay.
He might not have been on the list. And maybe you only get three, and I chose, like, the smartest people. Not that my dad isn't smart.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it's a different
kind
of smart.
I know.
It's like,
yeah.
You know. It's the smart where you can build yourself a hut and live your whole life as opposed to,
right.
You know, all the countries.
You had decided, then you heard this woman, so you decide to use your third lifeline.
My third and final lifeline. So John has no idea what's going on, mm-hmm. You know, because he has hey, John, it's Regis. And John's like, hey, hi. And he's like, Rachel's in a little bit of trouble here. She's at the $2,000. And John just must be like, $2,000. She's used all her lifeline. And so he's like, okay. And so, and John's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that would be Grout. And I'm like, okay, thanks, John. He's like, yep. And I go, Grout, final answer. It's correct. Okay, so now I'm $2,000 richer.
Okay.
Now I'm at $2,000. I got that money. And I'm like, smart girl over here. She's ready to keep going. I'm going to buy myself a house. So quick chin. Oh, this will change my life. So we get to the $4,000 question. And it is, you know, the sitcom 222, Room 222, took place in what location? And it's like a hospital, a prison, a school, a church, whatever. And I'm like, and I'm sure I wasted so much time. Like, I'm sure all the other Fastest Finger people were like, they're waiting. They're waiting to get in the chair from this idiot.
Oh, right. I forgot about that part.
From this idiot sitting there, because there's only
eating time.
I'm like, well, Regis, I don't know. He's like, well, think about it. And I'm like, well, how can I think about it if I don't know? I was like, it seems to me like that would be a school setting. Sure, final answer. Ba-bum. It was correct.
Yeah.
Now I'm at $4,000,
okay.
So I'm rich, right? This is like 4 months of work at Chin Chin.
Yeah,
okay?
No kidding.
Just take it out. So then we get to $8,000. And John and I were talking about this. I'm almost positive it was eight. I can't remember any other question. And so we get to $8,000, and it's geography, which is terrible.
That's my worst.
Terrible. Ugh. Listen, let's be real here. I'm going to tell you something besides the math. At Emerson.
Yeah, I was wondering what geography you took.
I'll say this. When I took a class, I don't remember what it was. Places. Yeah, exactly. In 10th grade, we got an empty map of the U.S. Uh-huh. And I'm embarrassed. But keep in mind how talented I am as a singer and a dancer.
She's really funny.
And
she's got all
actor,
this.
Yeah. You know. And I literally put Denver and Colorado as two different states.
In 10th grade.
Now, keep in mind, I think my high school is pretty low on the totem pole, and I think there were some terrible teachers, one who would later go on to shoot his ex in the head and then set her house on fire and then kill himself. He was my 11th grade, like, English teacher.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm glad. I used to try and push his buttons a lot. Like, I think you're just... I'd be like,
such good instincts, Rachel.
I'd be like, I think you're mispronouncing amicable or whatever.
Oh, my God.
I was like,
say it one more time.
Say it one more time and blow your brains out.
Do you think that's the reason he did it? Is your fault?
Probably.
She drove him.
And my kids are both smarter than me, and that's fine. They don't have the chutzpah and the talent that I have, okay? So the question...
Wasn't your daughter the star of a sitcom for a while?
She was a recurring... Yeah, fuck her. When she was 11, she was like, I want to be an actor. I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to let you just be like a shitty McDonald's commercial kid actor. You're going to go to Second City.
Better than your mother.
Exactly, you do better. She went to Second City, did improv classes.
Right.
I got her headshots and I was like, write your own emails to the agents. She got an agent immediately. She booked a commercial immediately. She's 12 by this time. Then booked a recurring on an Amazon show. I think she still has a fan page on Instagram.
And then she was like,
I'm done. Because she had to miss some last day of school at Walter Reed. Eighth grade, whatever it was.
God, I would have done anything to miss a day of school
at
Walter Reed.
But she had a little boyfriend and her friends and, you know, the cool kids in IHP. And,
she was IHP. Okay.
Yeah. And then she was like, I'm done. And I was like, oh my God. What? You're done?
How does that work?
You're just walking away with your head held high?
Okay, so you're at...
$8,000.
You're at the commercial break.
And it is a geography question. And it is which state borders the Ohio River with Ohio or something?
Now, would you know this? You're from Ohio.
I mean, I can name the states that do border Ohio, but I'm not sure if
the Ohio River runs?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You are from Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, Smear the Deer. I listened to that episode. I thought you were going to say something different, which is like a horrible thing that
Smear
people...
Smear the... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
I'm glad I didn't say that.
Yeah, that was Blanka Patch's episode I listened to.
I think I would guess...
Let me give you choices.
Yeah.
Okay. Your choices are Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, Wisconsin.
Well, all right, you are also from this area. Is this?
I know it's not. It's not Michigan. I'm gonna guess it's Kentucky.
That would be my guess as well.
Okay. I'm from Ohio. I know. And do you know the Red River of Fargo, North Dakota?
No.
So I'm so dumb. And I'm like, well, it can't be Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a central times. I get caught up on the time zone. Because I was like, okay. If Pennsylvania doesn't show up on this list, that's like the only state I know that's next to Ohio. Like, I have no concept.
Rachel, I wouldn't have iota.
I mean, it's like Illinois is right by the freaking south. You know what I mean? Like, people at the southern part of Illinois have like Missouri accents.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it's, come to Ohio, it's Appalachia.
Exactly.
It is.
It's very weird. Yeah, okay. And so I'm like, it's not Wisconsin. My sister lives in Wisconsin. I know it's not that. We've never talked about the Ohio River. It's stupid. Meanwhile, the fastest finger people are just like, can this bitch wrap it up so we can have a chance at our money?
Because there's no time limit on that show. That's sort
no of, time limit, right. Which is stupid. And I'm like, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky, give me a break. Those are southern states. Like, right. There's some, you know, big, you know, where. And I'm like, Michigan, now that's in the Eastern time zone. I'm obsessed with the time zone for some reason.
So funny.
And I'm like, I'm going to go with Michigan. Final answer.
It's Kentucky.
It's Kentucky. Because I didn't want to walk away at 4,000. Because if I guessed, I'd make 8,000.
Right.
You know, but yeah, so then
you didn't have anybody you could call anymore,
I
right?
Was done.
She was so done.
I probably would. I'm lucky I didn't use all of them before the $1,000 question. I mean, let's be real.
So you walked away with $1,000.
So then you go in the van with all the people who had to sit and listen to your bullshit and not get fastest finger. One lady was from Ohio.
Yeah.
And she was real angry. And she turned to her friend, because I'm there with Ashley and, you know, whatever. And this woman's like, I'm from Ohio. I knew all the answers.
Whoa.
And her friend turns to her and she goes, yeah, but you had to get in the chair.
Good for
I know. I was like, thank you, because you know what? That's not my fault that you didn't get in the chair.
Good for that friend. That
exactly.
is awesome.
And so then we went back to the hotel, and I'm like, I want $1,000. And John's like, what? Because he was nothing. I was like,
oh, so you were happy about winning the
$1,000? No, I was embarrassed, and it was awful, and
okay,
I was
but
dumb.
Were you embarrassed? But were you devastated?
I was not devastated. Okay. I was like, I did it. I was part of this thing that, like, everyone tries to get. And there are plenty of people who...
It's a big deal.
It was a big deal. We got a free trip to New York.
I mean, that, to me, is very exciting.
The worst part was, because 35 million people were watching this show, it aired on November 1st. Well, I'm back at Chin Chin. There's no monkey jobs. There's no, you know, acting jobs. And literally, I mean, if I had 10 tables that day... 8 of them probably were like, were you just on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, my God.
Left and right. And then some of the people who didn't like me at Chin Chin.
Are they like,
I would have known the answer. Yeah, exactly.
Did people really give you shit?
A couple did, like, sort of trying to be funny. But it's like, well, we're not even friends. And I'd be like, yeah, well, guess what? I got on the show. You know, whatever. It's like, you know, fallout. The incredible.
Oh, this is so...
But it was fine. I mean, it you know, and then an ex-boyfriend of mine reached out. Hey, me and, you know, Coots watch you. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what did, you know, because I wasn't really, I don't embarrass easily.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of my deal. Like, I say things like, I did have a day recently where I was like, I said what at that audition?
Oh.
I did what at that audition? Why would I say that to that
from
person?
Something a long time ago?
Long time ago. Okay. Why would I say that to that person? One time this guy, he came to an audition, but it was Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, right? And we were all at this audition. He's like, oh my God, I had to leave Temple. It was a commercial audition. Right.
Like, you didn't have to
you
do
You didn't have
jack
to do
shit.
Anything. He's like, oh, I had to leave Temple and blah, blah, blah. No, just keep your mouth shut, Rachel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, sounds like you may not be a very good Jew or something. Probably not as harsh as that. But
as a non-Jew,
like,
it's not something you should say.
I don't think I said Jew, but I think I was just like, well, maybe Judaism isn't your...
It's actually really funny.
It's funny, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's like that shitty comedian instinct where you're let me just throw it out there and see
if anyone laughs.
I mean, literally, he turned to me and he was like... He's so flummoxed. He was like, are you questioning me? And I was like, well, no, I was just making a bet. You don't question my faith.
And this is not someone you knew.
I love that. I mean, I love that instinct of like being like playful in the real world and then realizing, oh, I'm not in a group of funny people.
But well, also some people, like, Jimmy could get away with saying that for some reason. I couldn't get away with saying that.
No.
I don't have that thing where people are like, want to play with me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They just think I'm serious or something.
Yeah, I have the same problem. Like, I saw this woman when we were coming back through customs.
Yeah.
And it was a group of people, I think, who had just come from, like, some cute, like, tropical place. And this woman had, like, 20 hats and they were all stacked on top of each other and they got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I wanted to say to her, I don't think you have enough hats.
Exactly.
as a goof, you know, because I thought it would be funny, but like, it was,
you knew,
5 a.m.
I know.
And everybody's in this line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if she doesn't think it's funny though, it's gonna be terrible. She's gonna think I'm an asshole.
Yeah,
but like, my instinct is to always do the stuff like
exactly.
that. And I do that sometimes in the real world, and like, moms at school will just be like,
yeah,
well, I love my children.
Oh, and of course they
you know?
Do so.
And I'm like, I just meant it's fun when they're away from us.
Right.
That's what I was meaning when I said,
now,
are you questioning my faith?
Rachel, this has been so delightful.
I'm
so glad we got you on.
You guys
the story is amazing.
What
Thank you.
Story. Please come back.
Please.
I don't have any. I've already told you, nothing ever embarrassing happens to me. That's it.
Oh, well, man.
I'm
exhausted.
Here's the distinction. You might not be embarrassed, but it doesn't mean it's not an embarrassing story.
True.
It's so true. Let's find that guy. Let's do a thing where he and I make up about me questioning
have an
his
amends.
Faith.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you so
of
much,
course.
Rachel.
Thank you for having me.
We will be right back with What Did We Learn Today? Mm-hmm. Christine.
Yeah?
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
I love to learn.
If you win, safeguard your future. Sugar cereal makes a great gift. And Danielle Koenig, spelled wrong, is a cereal genius.
I spelled it wrong?
Yeah, you missed an L. It's okay.
Karen.
Embarrassing.
If you win a jackpot, act as if you will be murdered at any moment.
Because you might.
Take the lump sum and invest your winnings.
Yes.
Never thought that would be the advice. That's so interesting.
Not in Dogecoin.
Don't invest in Doge. No. The tool a jeweler uses to analyze gems is a loop. Yeah, why did I say jewel? Oh, you know why? Because I was thinking of the spelling of jewel, which is a measurement of work or something, which is J-O-U-L-E.
Mm.
And this loop is L-O-U-P-E. That's why I had it screwed up in my... And I'm sure I gave the wrong definition of jewel, but it's something about... a work fragment or
Let's
something.
Let's just focus on the things you do right.
I'm sorry.
Mostly you do things right.
Strippers can be nerds too.
Yes.
Crack, the choice of lotto winners everywhere. Okay, now this is very important. I'm glad Garen found this for us. Providence, that show we were talking about, that Rachel was on with a monkey.
Yeah.
Is about a successful Hollywood plastic surgeon, Sydney Hansen.
Mm, Sydney.
Returns home to Providence, Rhode Island, to try to keep her dysfunctional family together with the help of her mother's friendly ghost.
What? Wait a second.
She also finds work with the local free clinic. Who is her mother? Who plays her mother?
I didn't even look that up. I used to watch this show, and I have I have no memory of there being a ghost.
Or a monkey?
I do not recall a monkey.
Wait a second. You don't have a memory of...
I don't remember there being a ghost.
But this was the premise? Are you sure you didn't like flip over to a different show
it's
when
possible.
You were... Anyway, that is what we learned, and we've learned a lot.
Today was just filled with facts.
And fun. And frivolity.
Oh my gosh. That's what we bring.
I love it. So listen.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Remain calm.